Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Broadcasting live from New York City to the world, we have a brand new episode of Gamer Tag Radio. This is your host, Danny, and joining me this week for as a special guest.
I'm back, baby.
Bam Beats, and Bam, we're in the city, man, recording outside.
Yes, relaxing. We're near. We're a block away of the Nintendo store,
yes,
near Rockefeller Center.
And we were there for a little bit.
We were just there. Godfrey cheated in Mario Kart, but
no,
it's all good.
I never cheated. We were actually playing Mario Kart, and we got to see some Link's Awakening,
yes,
remake that just recently came out for Nintendo Switch, and that was dope.
Has it come out yet?
Yeah, it came out Friday, yesterday.
Did you buy it?
No, I'm actually waiting for Nintendo to send me the code. If now I'll buy it.
Mm.
That game is really good.
Nano says it wasn't that good last time we did the reviews.
Whatever, that's his opinion. That's his opinion, but... it's a good game. It's a good game overall.
But you told me that he's gone back and revamped his answer about that game.
Yeah. Because I told him, like, dude, that game is actually really good, man. It came out for the Game Boy Color,
mm-hmm,
back in the days. I remember playing that. It was awesome, man.
Really good.
Bam Beats.
Yes, sir.
So before we going to talk a little bit about soundtracks, mm-hmm, that we like from the games from back in the days. We're going to talk about that in a few. But... You were telling me that you finally finished Super Mario,
yes,
RPG because of the Super Nintendo Classic.
Yes.
Back then you played it.
I played it back then. Yeah, back in 1996 when it came out.
So, your thoughts overall about the game?
First of all, it took me 23 years to beat this game.
Okay. Now, what is the reason? People are probably going to ask, like, why? Why it took you so long?
I mean, back then, I mean, there was no strategy, guys. This time I actually went online and Googled Mario RPG... accessories, the way you should link your accessories to make your game a lot easier. So I finally did that, and then I went through it and I finally beat the game, man. Before, I was stuck. I got to the boss back in the days and I never beat it.
The final boss,
because he'll turn into like a tank. He'll turn into different little things, and he, yeah, has different elements, and he'll just destroy me.
So let's talk about the difficulty in the game. Back then, you said it was really hard. Took you forever.
It was really hard because there was no Google. You had to figure out or buy a strategy guide.
Yeah.
And I am not wasting money on no strategy guide.
What was the part that was difficult for you back then? And also now that it wasn't because of the accessories.
Well, I mean...
Which bosses were the ones that took you a long time?
Back in the days, there was a character that was like a Final Fantasy boss. That was like hidden in a hidden wall.
So it was a hidden boss.
It was a hidden boss. It's not part of the game. You didn't have to beat the guy to beat the game.
Okay.
But if you beat that guy, you get the best accessory where you link it to yourself. And then when you fight the main boss or anybody else, you get like almost zero damage of magic powers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So who was the characters that you were always playing, that you were always using for
I just used Mario. Well, when you start off the game, Mario.
You started with Mario.
Yeah, you start with Mario,
yeah,
but then you meet that little egg guy. He's like a little round character.
Toad? Toad?
No, you find him in the Toad. Like, he thinks he's part of the frogs.
Okay.
But he's part of a family from the clouds, but you find that out later in the game.
Yeah.
So you pick him, and then you pick some guy who's like a character, who's like a little toy, and the star... That the bad guy ends up stealing, one of those stars comes for help, and it hits a little toy, Genome. I think his name is Genome.
Okay.
Then you use that guy, who's pretty dope, but then once you get Bowser and the princess, that's it. You just run with that team. Hmm. They're the best team to play with.
So how many hours do you think it took you to
relatively,
complete the whole thing?
I've been here in New York, you know, by myself, so I pretty much played, like 5 hours a day playing that game?
Oh, damn.
So and I knocked it out. I knocked it out within a month.
For an RPG like that, and we could compare it to other ones like Final Fantasy II, Final Fantasy III.
Mm-hmm.
Is it long enough to compare like the other ones?
No, it's short. A lot shorter.
A lot shorter?
Yeah, I beat the game pretty quick.
Long.
3 is pretty long.
Even the ending was like 45 minutes long. Just the credits.
It wasn't 45.
No, it is. If your time is 45 minutes.
Like, I thought it was... it feels like 25 minutes.
No, it's 45. I'm talking about like finding out what happened with the characters because it's really slow. And
credits. I beat it about a year ago on my phone. Final Fantasy.
25 minutes.
Yeah, it's only 25 minutes.
That's a remake, then. Play the Super Nintendo version.
Nah, I think it's the same.
No, man. It's more than 25 minutes.
Well, I don't know. I haven't played it on the classic Super Nintendo because I already have it on my phone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So yeah. I don't. It's no need to me for to play it. Uh-huh. But I, like I said, I got back to Mario RPG and it felt good.
It felt good.
23 years later.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm a grown man now.
The
so.
Story was really good.
It still holds up to this day. That's one thing. For being how old it is and the graphics, it really holds up.
Why do you think it held up for 2019 or 2020?
I don't know because I guess it's at the peak level of 16-bit. So that game came out pretty late for Super Nintendo, so it kind of like it unified what it could do for that system. So it could be the best, had like the best engine of its time for that system, for 16-bit.
Do you know the story why that game was created?
It's because of Final Fantasy III, like such of all
well,
the...
Final Fantasy II was a big, huge hit in Japan, but in the States, wasn't that
great. It wasn't that good.
Sales was kind of whack because I think it took a long time for Japanese RPGs to blow up.
Mm-hmm.
So Nintendo and Square were like, hey, let's create an RPG game using your characters so we can make Japanese RPG more popular in the States.
But it came out after Final Fantasy III.
No, it came out after Final Fantasy II. They did this to promote. Yeah.
Final Fantasy III came out in 1992 or 93.
Check. No, 92. 91, 92 was Final Fantasy II.
Out. Yeah, because think about it. It went up to 6 in Japan.
Yeah.
So by that time, they had to make it 3.
It was like early 90s. So it was like maybe 93, 94.
No, look, Godfrey. It came out in 19... Oh, I'm looking at Final Fantasy III in Japan. Hold up. So I got to put Final Fantasy VI.
Six. Wikipedia.
Okay, it came out in America in 1994. Okay, all Mario right. RPG came out in 96.
Check Mario RPG.
No, I'm 1,000% sure Mario RPG.
Check.
Because I got it like when it came out. I just never beat it. Yeah, see, March of 96. It came out on my birthday, pretty much. That was my birthday present.
So, well, I know that they created that game.
That's what it was. I think Final Fantasy III was such successful in America. Because Final Fantasy II flopped. But Final Fantasy III here was successful. That's the reason why Final Fantasy VII kind of came here.
Okay, so you know what? You might be right. So Super Mario RPG was the last RPG game that was on Nintendo.
Yeah.
Because at that time, PlayStation, Sony,
yeah,
and Nintendo were working on a console, and never went through.
Mm-hmm.
And Sony did their own thing.
Yeah.
But they made a deal with Square at that time.
Yeah.
To create Final Fantasy VII.
Exactly. And that's the thing two through five was in America because two flopped here. And then when six came, when they made Final Fantasy III, which is really six, was good here. Like it was successful. And then that's why even seven was more successful because they saw that part three did good on Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
And I think that's how PlayStation took the deal.
Yeah.
And then which was probably the best thing that ever happened. It's Final Fantasy is getting like we don't want to go back to the Final Fantasy talk.
No.
To me, it's the best one.
But I wonder how would it be like if Square would have released Final Fantasy VII on Nintendo?
I don't know.
I mean, Super Nintendo it wouldn't work.
I don't think so.
Nintendo 64, you think would it work if they were released that?
It wouldn't have been the same game, man. Because I think if you think about it, when Final Fantasy VII came out, it was kind of edgy for being a PlayStation 1 game.
It was.
It will curse, but it will just have like the little fonts,
And they have a lot of cinematic.
Yeah, yeah, well, you couldn't do that on the 64.
Yeah, yeah. I remember playing Resident Evil 2.
Yeah.
For the Nintendo 64. They had it
on the 64?
Yeah, yeah, I played it.
That must have been later.
No, it was there.
It was the same time?
Same game, but I mean, it had the cinematic. Everything, all the videos. Was it fun? Resident Evil 2? Yeah, I played a Resident Evil game.
Resident Evil
64, yeah. Hmm. But anyways, all right, so let's move on. So Mario RPG, fantastic game.
Fantastic game.
How was the experience playing against the Power Ranger character bosses?
Back then, those guys
were hard, dude.
Yeah, back then they were super hard. But like I said, I looked up about the accessories and all that. I flew by those guys. Those guys were trash.
Yeah.
I even fought he's like a little grasshopper, like karate dude. And back then, I was able to beat him. You're supposed to fight him like 3-4 times. And every time you fight him, he gets harder and harder.
Wow.
But I couldn't beat the last stage. And I finally beat that dude. And then he gives you an accessory that helps you beat that Final Fantasy monster that's in the crack of the wall, which is like two doors next door.
Right. So if anybody has a Super Nintendo Classic...
It's a 5-star game. It's the best game, I think, on the Super Nintendo. Well, next to Final Fantasy 3.
Final 3 is up there, too. So make sure to play that. It's a fantastic game. Must have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they should definitely remake that, man.
Absolutely.
Definitely for the Switch.
For the Switch. and smooth out the graphics, still keep it looking like Zelda, you know, like Link of the Past.
But they have to have an HD.
But HD, yeah, exactly.
Graphics are better.
But still keep it like where the characters are very small on the screen.
Because you played, you remember the Link's Awakening from back in the days from the GameCube color?
Yeah.
And look, the one from now, the one now looks
but,
really good.
But they still kept it traditional. Like, it's still small little characters.
Yeah.
That's how they need to make Mario RPG, Super Mario RPG.
Yeah. So let's talk about soundtrack in the game.
Yes.
How, as a producer, how important music is?
It's very important because when you play a game for me like Final Fantasy VII, there's songs that I hear when you go into towns, and it just like my mind just goes back to being like 1997. I feel like I'm in middle school again.
But you're talking about old school games. I'm talking about just games in general.
You talk about games, but that, I'm giving you an example of why it's important for music because it's the first thing you hear when you hear a song. It automatically puts you in a place when you saw it. And then if you're playing it now, it gives you that vibe to get into the game.
Yeah.
Just
so like what was like the most the games that gave you goosebumps because of the music, not because what's happening like graphically or whatever, but musically that gave you that goosebump that you were like, oh man, this is gonna be a good game. Because there's a lot of games that got back then that was like, wow, man. Yeah. Like I could tell you a couple.
Go ahead.
From back then, Streets of Rage.
Yeah.
1 and 2. From like the 16-bit era, amazing.
Yeah.
Playing Final Fantasy III, great
amazing.
Soundtrack
amazing.
For a 16-bit game. You know, games like that. Even Star Fox. Recently, I was playing that because you could play that now on the SNES Online subscription service for the Switch.
Yeah.
Musically was really good, man.
Really
back
good.
Then,
yeah,
man.
It is.
You know? So.
Hey, and then I was playing Star Fox, the Japanese version, which is on the Super Nintendo Classic.
Are you talking about Part 2?
I don't know if it's Part 2. I just know it's a Star Fox I've never seen in America.
It's Part 2.
That's Part 2? It only came out in Japan. But I'm playing it. I'm like, yo, there's things that's on the Nintendo 64 in this game. That Nintendo 64 applied.
Yeah. Well, that game, the story about that game, it was already done.
Mm-hmm.
But they canceled the release because they wanted to work. They were working on Nintendo 64.
Okay.
So the developers, they told them to work on a new Star Fox game.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Because when you play that Star Fox 2, I'm like, oh, shit, you could do this in the 64.
Yeah.
And like how when the plane turns into like a little tank.
Yeah.
And you start shooting. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I've never played that game before, and I'm playing. I'm like, oh man, these are elements in the 64.
Yeah.
And how you can like spawn to different parts of the map.
Mm-hmm.
That's also in the 64.
So games that you think was very influential for you as a producer, man, from back in the days, man.
I mean, I could go with Final Fantasy VII, but then I could also go with Metal Gear.
Metal Gear? There's so
many. I could go with Metal Gear Solid 1, which is it has an orchestra vibe, but you could tell it's keyboardish. But then when they go to Metal Gear Solid 2, Sons of Liberty, they actually got an orchestra to play the music. So you're like, it feels like you're watching like Enemy of the State, the movie, because it has the same composer that did the music for that.
You know,
so it sounds realistic.
You know what was powerful? Watching, I think it was the first Metal Gear for the PlayStation. Metal Gear Solid 1.
Okay.
I remember watching that and they had like the credits was playing while you're actually
playing. Yeah, exactly.
That was the first time I think I seen that in the game back in the days. Something like that. I don't remember any other game.
Where like you're walking and you see the credits. So it looks like a movie.
That was. I was like, whoa, yo, this sucks.
Yeah, now that you mention that, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, it was like, wow, this is like, it looks like a movie for sure. Yeah. I'll tell you another game that the soundtrack helped a lot.
Mm.
Donkey Kong Country.
I mean, I like Donkey Kong Country, but I wasn't too much.
The soundtrack was legit.
I sampled.
Which one?
It's like the third level in the original Donkey Kong Country for Super Nintendo. It's the water level.
I was going to bring that up.
I made a beat off that.
That, mind blowing.
Matter of fact, I'll send you the beat so you can just play it at the end of the episode.
I don't know if I'm allowed to play these songs.
Oh, but you're right. I don't want you to get canceled.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, that one, look, whoever's listening to this, make sure to go on YouTube and search for the level of Donkey Kong Country, the water level.
Water level.
Man.
It's so soothing. Like, you're playing and you just, like, relax.
It's a very relaxing song. Even Mario World, I think, Super Mario World, has some songs, Swimming, that was...
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Like, every water level is, like, very calm.
Yeah, it's very calm because it's, like, in the water. It's in a soothing environment.
Minus the Zelda 64 water level. Yo.
I don't think about that level.
Headache.
I'm not going to lie. I had to look at a strategy guide to beat that level.
You know, it took me a month to pass that without a strategy guide. I didn't know what to do. I was like, there has to be something.
And it's like one little, small little thing that you overlooked every time you're like walking by it.
Yeah. That was
don't get me started with that level, man.
Yeah. What other soundtrack you think was very powerful for you, man?
Soundtrack was Chrono Trigger. I've sampled many things off Chrono Trigger.
I forgot about Chrono Trigger, man.
Yeah.
What do you compare it to? For those that never played the game, because we have a lot of young people that.
Chrono Trigger, it's like, I don't know, man. It's just the melodies that they use. It's like, it's like, it hits you, man, when you play the game. I don't know. There's something about it. Yo. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, we're live, man. The streets.
It's about to be some road rage over here. This guy just.
You know what? There was another game. I don't know if you ever. I know Nano played it. I can't wait to have him on the show because we definitely got to talk about ActRaiser.
What?
ActRaiser.
I don't know what that is.
You never play? Okay. Scratch that then. But it's a game that came out.
I'll check it out.
Super Nintendo.
Game. No, I remember this. I remember seeing this like in Blockbuster, in Hollywood Video. I just see the box.
Yeah, it was really good.
All right, so music for games. What was another game?
Was there any 8-bit music too that you think was pretty good from back then?
Oh, man. Tecmo Bowl. Super Tecmo Bowl.
I can't remember the soundtrack for that. Why it was good?
It's just like the music that. You're like, yeah. Throw a long ball, touchdown. That's in my head. It's imprinted in my head. I can hear that song somewhere and it'll. My memory would go straight to that.
Ninja Gaiden?
I don't really remember Ninja Gaiden's music.
Ninja Gaiden has some good one, man. Let me see. Best?
Metroid. Super Metroid.
That's a good one.
I've sampled. Another game I've sampled.
Super Metroid. Right?
Yeah, Super Metroid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, dude.
Yo, you go. Now that in hip-hop, like, trap music is like, you know, like the rave. Like, that's like the big thing now. Mm-hmm. If you play Super Metroid, there's a bunch of trap-style music.
Yeah.
That trap artists can pick up. Because I've sampled some stuff off that. So that soundtrack was ahead of its time of like synth, grimy, dark synth music,
mm-hmm.
C minor, you know, type of music. So yeah, that's pretty dope.
Mega Man X, you play that? I think Nano played it.
I played Mega Man. Mega Man X was good. It was for the PlayStation, right?
Final Fantasy.
No, Mega Man X was for the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
Man, I think Square, that was like their prime.
Yeah, it's the prime.
In the 90s.
I feel like once they changed their name is when they fell off.
What, to Square Enix?
I say Squaresoft. And you guys correct me all the time. It's like, it's not called Squaresoft
anymore. We're not in the 90s anymore, man.
You know what game was like terrible that no one cared about, but the soundtrack was crazy?
What?
Adam's Family.
Are you serious? Are you for real?
Anybody who's listening, put Adam's Family for the Super Nintendo. OST. Adam's Family, OST.
OST.
And listen to the music. Because I go on YouTube and I look for stuff to sample.
Yeah.
And someone posts up Adam's Family. There's some lady just looking at me, smiling at me.
Everybody's looking over here like, they've never seen people with mics.
So anyways, so I went on YouTube and put Adam's Family, OST, Super Nintendo, and the cover is just like the family like posing.
Yeah, that's a random
game. Go, Godfrey, listen to it. After this episode, go listen to it when you're back home.
Okay.
It's got a lot of dope little melodies. And it's kind of like creepy, and it has that trap sound like, you know, like today's music.
Yeah.
But it's dope. But the game, I don't know anything about. I've never played the game. Didn't play it back then.
Never played the game.
No. But the soundtrack
is good.
That's probably my favorite soundtrack of a game I never played.
Did you find a lot of songs like that? Like, you never played it, but...
Now.
Soundtrack, you'd be like, oh, man.
Like I said, Adam's Family was one. Another game, RoboCop, had a dope soundtrack.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah. And the cover is like, it's like the cover of the movie.
What made you find these songs?
Because
randomly?
I go online, like I'm part of a, I don't really want to say the name because I don't want people going there taking my samples.
Yeah.
But I'm part of a music group where they post up like Asian music, rock music, reggae music. They put like fine little dope songs and they post it up on the page, songs that you can sample. And then there's a video game section. So I see another, but Super Nintendo, Genesis games, and they put up the OSTs, and I'm like, oh man, this is dope, yo.
Yeah.
So like I said, RoboCop and Adam's Family have a dope soundtrack of games I've never played.
Now I gotta like check it out to see what in the world you're talking about, because I remember those games, but okay, let's go back with Super Mario RPG. Did it have a great soundtrack, you think?
Yes, it had a pretty good soundtrack.
Decent. You don't sound like
but a lot of the songs they had like a lot of corny songs. That were like, like I didn't really like the songs.
So it's not Final
Fantasy? Yeah, it's not. No.
Final Fantasy 3 level?
It's nowhere near Final Fantasy 3 level. But it has some good songs. It's all right.
Huh.
The game is a lot better than the music.
Yo, this, okay, so people are saying, I'm just checking online to see what soundtrack people like. Spider-Man and Venom, Maximum Carnage.
Ooh.
I forgot about that. Does that have a great sound? I've never.
I need to go back and hear it.
The cartridge was red.
Yeah, it's, just, it's Carnage like that. Approaching the city.
They said that's top 10 best soundtrack.
You know what? Let me write that down because I'm going to go back home and I'm going to start Googling.
That one?
Yeah.
You forgot about that one.
I forgot about that one.
All right.
What else is the list say?
I'm going to look for another one. Ooh. You ready for this? Secret of Mana.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a great sound. Well, I know they did a remake. I heard negative things about it because you can't play three players on that one. Super Mario World.
Yeah.
Some songs, man.
And you know how I know that game is classic? Because I was playing it, and even Gato in the apartment is like, yo, oh my God, I remember this. And he doesn't even play video games. But those songs pinpoint to his mind how classic that was.
It is. It is.
That when you go to the scary, every time you go to the little building, the scary building, like the haunted house.
Yeah, the haunted. Yeah, it changes the music.
It changes. The music changes.
So have you played Mario Maker?
No.
Ooh, bam. You got to play Mario Maker, man.
Like
that
music?
One, because it has different Mario games, but you create your own Mario level, and you use soundtrack from past Mario games. So I play a lot.
Is that the thing you've been posting on Twitter? Like people post like the most random
crazy
levels?
Dude, amazing.
Where like the little fire sticks are like all over the place?
Yeah. And that's from Mario Maker 2. It's one of the best Mario games, dude. People create the craziest level, man.
Yeah.
It's really cool. And they add soundtrack from all the Mario games in there. They choose whatever they want. Actually, so
from 8-bit all the way to like now.
To now. Well, certain songs from now. But it was
But they had the classic
school.
8, 16-bit.
Yeah. Ooh. Do you remember Earthbound?
No, I never played that game.
That's a good one.
Oh, you know what had good music?
you flipped
you know what had good music? Simearth.
Yeah, you're right.
Simearth has
SimCity.
No, that's Simearth.
Yeah, Earth.
That
game
had amazing music. I sampled something off of Simearth.
Oh my God.
The Ice World where
yo, why you got so hype with that one? You like
because when you said Earth, what did you say? Earthbound?
Earthbound.
Yeah, I thought about Simearth. That's why.
How many songs you sampled for that one? Just one or
I sampled two. I sampled two songs. I sampled one where it's like because in Simearth you can do scenarios, like you can do like a planet, you could do an ice planet, you could do Mars and the plant level, which is kind of like supposed to be Pluto. That song is really dope. I slowed it down. It sounds dope.
That's cool. Anything else, man? I know we're like almost 30 minutes here, but
let me think.
Everywhere I go, I see that Chrono Trigger is one of the best soundtracks for
that's like saying like what's your favorite hip hop album, people say Illmatic. It's like
it's all good,
of course, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. What else? What else you got?
I think that's about it for me, man.
Oh, you know what's another soundtrack?
Yeah.
I don't really remember playing the game. Batman Returns, which is Batman 2.
Batman Returns.
That had a really dope soundtrack.
Well, the next time that we're going to get together, because this is just a conversation.
Yeah, it's a little preview.
This is not Battle of the Games.
Yeah, exactly.
Battle of the Games, we're going to debate our favorite soundtrack ever.
You already know where I'm going with this.
I have a couple that I'm definitely going to defend.
We should bring three because I feel like me, Nano, and you, we might have like...
Different opinions.
No, not even different opinions. I think our top three, we're going to have the same game in our top three.
Yes and no.
That's what I'm saying. I know me and Nano for sure are going to have Chrono Trigger.
The same ones?
Chrono Trigger Final Fantasy.
But I think Nano has... He has more games that he likes that you never played.
Which is true.
Which is really, really true. So, but there's games that I like... That's also from the Genesis that has a great soundtrack that you probably don't like.
True. Also, too, I want to do research because with the three games I'm going to mention, I'm going to pinpoint the name of the song, where in the level they play it. So I'm going to get into more depth about that.
Yeah, definitely. There was a documentary that someone made. Mm-hmm. It's very short. It was on YouTube.
Okay.
Breaking down like how producers created songs on Super Nintendo. Mind-blowing.
I've seen it. It's just, it's like, it's digital. It's like the 1-0, 1-0, 1-0
But they only
pattern.
Have a certain amount of
it's only a certain
seconds. That yeah. they But they got really creative on how to make a song for the Super Nintendo. Like the perfect example, Donkey Kong Country, the water level.
Mm-hmm.
If you see how that song was produced, it's mind-blowing, dude. Like,
exactly.
It's crazy.
No, I think I saw that video.
And the thing is, when you only have a certain thing in technology-wise that you kind of stuck, that's all you have,
yeah,
you will become more creative, and it will force you to come with like some awesome, awesome material and stuff. So yeah, I just want to say that. But how many seconds of producing was per?
I think for 16-bit, it only had like 8 seconds or 9 seconds of sampling time. Like if you were to put that like in a beat machine, you only have 9 seconds.
But they will have different layers on adding instruments within those.
No,
what they'll do is
they'll have like a stab, like a pep. And then they would extend that beep, boop, 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 and make the tones like that with the numbers, with the digits. That's how they did it. And then that's why if you listen to like Super Nintendo music, the quality sounds so low. It's because the sound bite is very low. It's very small kilobyte.
Is that what type of sound is that? Is that MIDI? I mean,
It's MIDI.
MIDI?
Yeah, it's MIDI sound.
So Nintendo was even worse because they only have a certain amount of seconds and less layers. Now.
Exactly. And that's why that music sounds really like quality wise, it sounds really crappy. Because this lower kilobyte sound to save more memory.
Yeah. Yeah, if you listen to like Star Fox, for example, that's the first time I heard a voice in the game saying like, good luck.
Oh, yeah.
Good luck. And then at the end, you will, like when you finish the game, you hear a conversation with Star Fox team and whoever's talking to them.
No.
Not at the end. The end, they're actually talking.
Oh, I don't think I ever beat Star Fox. I beat the 64 Star Fox.
Oh, 64, yeah.
Yeah, I never beat the original Star Fox.
Damn.
I think it was hard, man.
Yeah. Hard. You know what? We got to go in depth when it comes to like producing, because from coming from you and Anno as producers, producing a song for Super Nintendo, like, how was that? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to definitely.
Sure.
Definitely want to talk about that.
We get Anno on the next one.
Yeah.
Right now, he's in a cruise right now.
He'll be back. All right, Bam. Anything else, man?
Nah. Just going to be here in New York, living here now. So
any projects coming up for you?
Yeah, right now I'm coming out with an album with my man DB Cutlass. It's going to be coming out sometime late October.
Okay. So and that one is going to be available on all streaming services?
Yes. It's going to be on all.
Spotify,
Apple, and we could probably get Google. It on Tidal too.
Oh, Tidal, Google maybe?
Most likely. Yeah, for sure.
All right, cool.
So that, and then this rapper Bodega Bams, who's, you know, underground artist here in New York.
Yeah.
I should be on his next project. So hopefully, that should probably come out by the end of the year.
Okay.
I know by hanging out with him, chilling with him, I got like about 2 beats.
Oh, that's cool.
On the next project.
That's cool, man. People want to follow you? You mentioned
Yeah, man. Just
Instagram.
Hit me up on Twitter, at Bam Beats, BAMBEATZ. Just hit me up on Twitter or you can hit me up on Instagram, Bam_Beats.
On
Instagram.
Yeah. Cool, man.
Yeah, just hit me up there.
Awesome.
Chat, whatever.
Yeah, man. Great conversation. And we're going to have a part two. And part two is going to be the Battle of the Games. Right?
Battle of the Games.
That one is going to be legit.
This is just a little sneak preview, you know, what we got cooking up.
Yeah, definitely, man. All right, Ben. Thanks a lot, man.
No problem, man.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Gamertag Radio, thank you for listening. And we have one more thing here. Throwback Thursday. Guess what? I'm going to play an interview that I recorded 12 years ago, and it was with Francesca Reyes. So Francesca Reyes used to work at OXM, and she was the first person in the world at that time that got to play and finish Halo 3. So they had a world exclusive review on the official Xbox magazine. So I decided, man, I got to hunt her down. I wanted to be on the show to talk about the experience of playing Halo 3 for the first time. And, you know, it was pretty hard for her because there was a lot of things she couldn't really talk about. But it was a great conversation. So I'm going to play this. This aired on our podcast 12 years ago. And remember, Halo 3 hasn't been out yet. Everybody's super excited about the game. I haven't got my copy yet. She was the first person to actually play the game. At that time, at the Bungie studio in Seattle, and we spoke about all that stuff. So I'm gonna play right here. This is a Throwback Thursday special. Enjoy.
Yo, what's up, Gamertag Radio listeners? Guess who we have on our show today? She is one of the few people who have actually played and beaten Halo 3. Francesca Reyes from official Xbox Magazine. She's the editor-in-chief. Now, this is going to be our most difficult interview yet. We have a lot of questions, but I don't know if we'll be getting any answers.
We've been hunting her down for a while now.
Yeah. Francesca, yeah. I know that you can't give us too many details about the game, but how about if we just refer to Halo 3 by Barbie Cosmic Wars? What if we just call that? Can we indulge in some information and just go on and talk about it like Barbie Cosmic Wars? What the game? How is the game? What's it all about? And
you can try and ask. The worst that could happen is I could say I can't answer that. So.
Oh man!
I mean, but how was your feeling like once you got the call? Okay, I'm definitely gonna try out and finally play Halo 3, which there's like millions of gamers out there like waiting for this game. Close to 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
how was your feelings? Before you got to play the game.
Well, for a long time, it kind of happened at the last minute. But honestly, I was kind of nervous about the whole thing, just because here you are, you're gonna go play this game that so many people have been waiting for, and can you remember absolutely every could you remember all the maps from the first two games? Can you remember everything about the first two games so you can use it as reference for this one? It's kind of a big task, just it makes you nervous to think about what a big responsibility is, so you don't mess it up, so I think that was kind of the main feeling I had, was a sense of responsibility. I didn't want to, let down any of the fans by, either not knowing something or not being able to take it all in, because, we didn't have a build or anything. We had to go up to Bungie to play it. So, So it was kind of like, you have so many days to take the whole thing in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what I want to say is, come on, don't let the fans down. Tell us something about it. What can you,
what you could say, what you could talk about, what you could say and what you can't say.
What can I say?
I know she definitely can't say the ending, which I know a lot of people have been,
Is there going to be a Halo 4?
Is there going to be a Halo 4? Is that what you said?
Yes.
That was the question?
Yeah.
Yes.
I can't say. It's really hard.
Is it like a Spider-Man 3 ending, where, if they wanted to cut off the series and end the series, yeah, it's a good way to end it, but just in case if they wanted...
I'm not going
to
ruin that. playing it.
Yeah. No, but I remember in the last Halo review, that was Halo 2, I know a lot of people were, not happy. Because everybody had their feedback about how Halo 2 ended, So were you worried about that happening again with this one? Because I know you guys were the first ones, right? For, that's going to release a review about this,
I was kind of worried, you're just as worried as you ever are about a lot of big games. You're like, is the ending going to suck,
Yeah.
I knew that, so many people... we're so kind of pissed off about Halo 2's non-ending so I kind of had an idea that Bungie couldn't go there again, because if they did, everyone would be so pissed off, so I kind of, but I was more interested in seeing how are they going to handle it? Are they going to kind of take it to the hole and really go for broke with the ending or is it going to be open-ended again? I knew they couldn't do Halo what happened with Halo 2 again, because they couldn't, because I think they were all aware of what people thought of it, so for them to do that again would just be they didn't learn anything, but I think it was more just I just didn't even know what to expect. Was it going to wrap the whole series up? Was it going to be open-ended for a Halo 4, things like that? So, and I won't say which one it was.
Okay, coming to the technical aspect of the game, how does it look? And, what about the weapons or anything, any elements about it that you... Well, let's just talk about the graphics at first. A lot of people wanted to know how good does it look compared since the beta has come out.
How much better? Single player, campaign looked really good. Obviously... the multiplayer looked really good. I mean, it's really hard to say because I know everyone was a bit underwhelmed with the beta.
Yeah.
And I know I was too, but I didn't care as much. A lot of people were really like, oh my God, this doesn't look any better than Halo 2, you know.
Well, I think people got spoiled with Gears of War and a couple other games out there.
BioShock,
know?
Of course.
Yeah, BioShock too. And I think, you know, playing the beta, I think it was a good thing. Like, I was happy to play it, but at the same time, deep inside, I'm like, man, you know what? Like, it kind of like ruined the surprise for me. Like, you know, when the first time you got to play Halo 2, you were like, you were surprised. You know, so once I play the beta, now I'm like, I'm hype about it, but I don't know. At the same time, it's kind of like it killed it for me. Like, I'm not surprised anymore, you know?
I know what you mean. Like, I think there was that similar feeling around here where, like, you know, now it made us just more excited for the single player because we're like, okay, we know what multiplayer is going to be. I mean, we don't know all the ins and outs of it from the beta, but, you know, I mean, especially with, like, Forge and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know anything about that when we were playing the beta, but we kind of all said, okay, we know this is going to be fun and, you know, whatever, but it kind of made us more excited for campaign and for all the other things we didn't know about. So I know what you mean. It was kind of like, oh, wow, it's going to be good. Surprise, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But honestly, when you play the full game, like when you get that box, it's way more of a complete experience, you know, than the beta was. I mean, the beta was just this tiny little slice of it, you know? And I think a lot of people don't have that perspective right now because they obviously haven't had a chance to play the full game. But once you are able to play the full game, you're like, wow, that beta was just a tiny part of it. You know, I mean, there's so many other game types. There's so many other maps and there's so many other like modes to play multiplayer in. There's like co-op and then there's single player, you know, just it's pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the beta was kind of like, oh, not really that surprising.
I know,
you know?
Right?
And so everybody was like, oh, it's kind of like a map pack, you know, and stuff. But at the same time, you know, I guess the point of it was mainly just to let Bungie get data, I guess, on stuff for multiplayer, you know, and then also let a bunch of people play it, you know, to get everyone stoked. But yeah, so I'm sorry, that went on a bit long.
Okay. That's all right.
It's okay.
Good conversation.
Does the game run in 60 frames a second, as they previously mentioned?
In single player and
both.
Yeah.
Either in both. Like, how smooth does it run on single player, and then multiplayer? Does it run the same frame rate?
I would say single player obviously is a bit smoother, depending like since you can't have up to like four players. I mean, the one thing to note is that there are differences between, I mean, everybody knows, but there are differences between the difficulty levels, you know. I mean, like we played, our first playthrough was on heroic, and the difference between normal and heroic is big.
Substantial.
You know, I mean, not just difficulty setting.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are like enemies and vehicles and like battles that you don't see on normal mode.
So, I mean, that's good.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. But at the same time, like that, you know, I mean, I didn't notice that. I'm not a huge frame rate person. That's the thing, is like I only notice when it's bad. You know, I only notice when it's chugging. So I can't tell you exactly. I mean, I have a feeling like it was all very smooth. There was no slowdown when we were playing, either in multiplayer or single player and stuff, and even in co-op and stuff. But it's hard to say that once, you know, like say multiplayer gets let loose online, you know, like on Xbox Live, that there won't be something. I have no idea, though, since, you know, we only played on debugs across PartnerNet, which is kind of not Xbox Live. And it wasn't like millions of people playing.
Hey, that makes sense.
I was just going to say, battles are vehicles Godfrey will never see. Just because he's not made of heroic stuff.
Oh, God. Whatever. Sorry. All right. So let me ask you this. Were there a lot of those like goosebumps moments, like, you know, the music and everything that was, you know, was going on in the environment, like while playing the game, like got you like, wow, this is really, really cool, man.
And was there also a lot of nostalgia, you know, in the game?
Yeah, I mean, there was both. I mean, I won't get too
She's
specific.
She's not gonna say, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to get too specific, but I would say like there's. I mean, the game is full of, you know, quote moments and quote. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
It just had like really big epic feel to it. So, and then there's also like quieter moments and too. So, but I mean, there's always a lot going on. It's a very well paced game. You know. So.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, if you've ever played any of the other Halos before, you kind of know what to expect, you know. It's nothing like super like, oh my God, I didn't, you know, it's not suddenly Halo 3 does BioShock, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
They don't do anything too out of the Halo universe or anything. So, but there's just a lot of really like great moments in the game.
Cool. Ron, how long is the single player campaign?
I know in Bungie the podcast, I said 10 hours. I don't know. That's what they said.
I know that's what they... I've read on forums that was their answer. They said anywhere, depending on the difficulty, obviously, and whether you're playing solo or co-op, it can last anywhere from, like, say, like 11 to 18 hours.
It all depends on the person.
Not too
right?
bad, yeah. Did you get a chance to play four-player co-op?
No. No. I didn't get to... we did play, like, 2 and 3, I think, but not 4.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So. Okay. How did the game fare with 3 players? Like, how do you think it's well balanced, and does it how well did it play?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of modifiers too when you're playing co-op that I won't go into.
Okay.
But
okay.
There's a lot of ways to adjust like difficulty, and no matter what like actual difficulty you're playing in, you know, it's kind of hard to explain without going into too much detail.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's a lot of ways to kind of like make the game more challenging for, you know, however many people you're playing co-op with.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll leave it at that.
All right. So writing this review, I know. Can you give us like more information on what how big is this review? I know it's a big thing for you guys. I know for the official Xbox magazine.
It's a big thing for Microsoft. Everyone.
For everyone, yeah, yeah. But I mean, this is like, you know, I think the first magazine, you know, to actually to release this review, you know, once
physically the review is about 10 pages.
Oh, okay.
But as a whole, it was actually, you know, because I was thinking, oh God, how am I going to fill 10 pages? You know, I was thinking that before I went up there and played it. Yeah. And I remember I was talking to my art director, and I was like, and she's just like, well, people love art, you know, people love screens, they want to see the game, so if, you know, if there's not a lot to talk about, you know, why don't I just use big screens, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And no spoilers, though, right? No spoilers, though.
Oh, God, no spoilers.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I was, there was no reason to spoil the story, because the story was so, like, it's too hard to say anything about the story with revealing any spoilers,
okay.
You know, without revealing. Right. So I didn't even mention that at all, you know, at least not in the review.
Okay.
So, just because, I mean, that's what the whole thing is about, you know, is going through the single player campaign and just, you know, finding out what happens to everybody.
Do you
stuff on your own?
Do you just play as Master Chief, or do you switch roles in a single player campaign?
Yeah, the different characters in the four player.
Oh, well, there's different characters in co-op.
Yeah,
and stuff like you play as, you know, someone plays as Master Chief, someone plays as Arbiter, and I think there's a Marine and another Elite.
Uh huh.
Okay.
You know? I think so. Right.
But have you tried? Have you tried those characters, or just Master Chief all the way?
When you play single player.
Yeah. No, when you played like the four player co-op.
Cool. So I know I played as Arbiter in co-op.
Oh, so. Cool. All right. I know it's very, very hard to answer these questions.
I know. Because it's like me trying to figure out, it's like, what was okay to talk about? What
no,
wasn't
but I mean, I'm cool that you know, at least you're answering something. You know, like, I mean, we don't want you to get
no matter,
trouble.
Regardless of how vague it is.
Yeah. No, because, you know, I think the Halo fans are going to appreciate this. And, you know, they will definitely, once where they go and buy the game, they're like, oh, you know what? Let me get the OXM, you know?
Yeah.
See how's the feedback, you know? So
Yeah, there's some good stuff in that issue of OXM for like that goes beyond just the review. So I won't say what it is, but
okay,
there's some good stuff for like people who are playing the game. So people who are just about to buy the game.
Can you talk about the disc that's coming for this month?
Oh, the disc. I'm sorry. I need to find that info. Just because we finish stuff ahead of time, so it's hard to remember once we move on to the next thing.
So
you might have to give me a sec on that.
It's cool. But while you're looking for it, let me ask you this. What do you think about like companies hyping the game and once the game comes out, it's like, I don't know, it's all right once you play it. Do you think that kills the game when companies hype it too much?
It can. It depends. Like, you know, the only way it would kill it is if the game didn't live up to the hype, right?
Okay.
So, you know, and I think at some point, like, there is, you know, some games do get, like, too much hype, you know? It's like, it can't possibly live up to the expectation of some hype, you know? So, but on the whole, like, games like BioShock, you know, I think a lot of people were like, there was a lot of hype behind that game, you know, and it ended up in the end really delivering, you know?
Yeah.
And, but I think, you can probably find flaws with anything. Like, I'm sure there's going to be people who are like, oh, Halo's overrated, you know?
Yeah,
people said that about 1 and 2, you know? And, I'm sure there are people out there who thought BioShock was overrated too. You know, I think you're always going to find people who that game is not for them, regardless of, you know, and then they're more vocal about it because of the hype.
Yeah.
You know, because it seems like everybody's jumping on the hype train.
Mm-hmm.
But, to answer your question, it's hard to say. I mean, it can hurt some games, but I think, you know, hype, at least for like the kind of like casual consumer level,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think it never hurts, you know, to get a game at least, get people like that beyond like hardcore aware of a game. So I don't know if that actually answered your question.
That's no, good. It's good.
Man, I'm trying to think of questions for which we can get answers to, and you know, people can actually get something out of this interview other than that. Yeah.
I know. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. How many? Can you mention the people you've played and beaten Halo 3, or you just have to keep mum about it?
Kind of keep a little. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
they don't want to be embarrassed.
It's not even that. I think it's just the fact that since you can't talk more about it, that's pretty much all you can say. It's like, so I have played this, and that you kind of, at some point, you don't even want to mention it because you can't answer any of the following questions.
All right, so let me ask you this. When you got to play the game, was it like a month ago, 2 months ago, you know, a few months ago?
Oh, no, it wasn't that long ago. It was probably about maybe about 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks, okay.
Yeah.
Do you think that this game is going to be competitive, like how was Halo 2, you know, online or you know, for other tournaments too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's so much stuff in multiplayer, it's ridiculous. You know, it was really difficult to get, you know, a sense of just how big it was, you know, until we just really dove in and started playing all the different modes and everything.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, no, I mean, there's so much to do in multiplayer. I can't see why they couldn't find something in it to use for, like, competitions and stuff like that. And I think like for people who have clans and everything like that, it's totally awesome. So I mean, there's just so much stuff in it, including like Forge and everything and the new game types. I was talking with Ryan, our senior editor here, and you know, we're thinking if people are still playing Halo 2 now,
yeah,
you know,
you can imagine this one, huh?
Yeah, because there's just so much more stuff in multiplayer. It's impressive, you know.
Yeah, let me shout out to Ryan. He's pretty cool. He was on our show before.
Yeah, cool he mentioned guy. That.
Very very cool guy. Yeah, I met him at E3. Him and the rest of the crew there at OXM, they were playing Rock Band at E3.
Oh.
And I took a picture. I'm like, oh, look, the OXM band. All right.
Cool. Man.
I think this year, there's like way too many games. I don't know how you guys can handle it because, I mean, you gotta like review a lot of games for the holidays. You know, I think that's like the hardest part about your job. You know, like, I mean, how you could balance
also
that?
The best, so. I'm sorry, what's that?
How you could balance that? Like having way too many games, and at the same time, you wanna, you know, just wanna enjoy yourself, and but there's like way too many for, you know, for review for your magazine. You know,
I mean, I guess freelancers. I mean,
yeah.
We have a really good set of like freelancers, so that we trust and stuff. So we, you know, that's how we do it. I mean, there's just like so many games coming.
Yeah,
and we're thinking in like, you know, like a bunch of them, like Assassin's Creed, Mass Effect, Rock Band, you know, Call of Duty, and stuff. I mean, all these big games, and then it doesn't even count in like Guitar Hero 3 and Tony Hawk, Skate, you know, all these, you know, other games that are also, that are really good, that are also coming out, you know.
Yeah.
And I thank God GTA got pushed till next year.
Yeah.
Isn't Party Animals also coming out this year?
I think it's like November.
I know.
Wow. So, I mean, there's just a ton of games coming. I didn't like a lot of them are just amazing. Like, you know, I mean, I'm stoked about Mass Effect. I'm stoked about Rock Band. You know, I can't wait to play Call of Duty.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Mass Effect, personally.
Yeah.
But let me ask you.
I think a lot of people are.
You know what? Yeah. I was thinking about this because we went to E3 and we got to play a bunch of games and we got to see Halo 3. But I don't know, for some reason, why, in your opinion, why you think there wasn't like a big like hype with Halo 3? You know, everybody was just talking about Call of Duty, Rock Band, and other games, and it wasn't like that with Halo. But now,
I'm not exactly sure why. Yeah, I really don't know why. I mean, I have a feeling, you know, maybe they're playing their cards. I think it's also because it was in the new E3. Maybe a lot of people didn't know what the format was going to be.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a lot easier to gauge it if, you know, if it was exactly like last year, everyone was in the convention center and stuff, but and it became like volume wars between the different booths and everything. But this time, I mean, I think a lot of the stuff that was at Microsoft booths, you know, or at their that hotel, like that where they're showing stuff, was relatively quiet and like very understated, you know, and I'm not exactly sure why they did that or if that was the effect they were going for, that they just kind of wanted to go in and like kind of make an impression that they had this really strong lineup and then let the third party games do the talking. I have no idea.
Yeah.
So, but everyone that I know, I think everyone came away from Halo 3, at least the demo at E3, like thinking, wow, you know, I kind of want to really play single player, you know,
and
saved films and stuff like that, where they showed that off and everything, but yeah, it wasn't as huge of a bang as some of the other games that kind of just came out with a bang, I suppose. So like Rock Band and Call of Duty. So maybe they just wanted to let third parties kind of show that they, you know, they were supporting 362 and had a really strong lineup.
That's true. It could happen like that too. But what
Who knows?
what are you gonna be doing on the 24th, 25th? I mean, everybody's gonna be like finding out if the game already is out, like in a couple stores, which I doubt that's going to happen. But, you know, are you going to be, you know, checking out like the vibe, you know, what's going on in your area too?
Oh, do you mean at the stores and stuff?
Yeah. Like for the
midnight launch. For sure. I mean, I think every time there's a Halo launch, we at least, you know, we have like a video crew that likes to go down and interview. And so we usually go with them and, especially for the midnight lines.
Yeah.
You know, so I think usually like for Halo 2, there was a big, the big launch was downtown San Francisco in Union Square. And I know there was this huge line that wrapped around the blocks like so many times.
Nice.
And I'm hoping it'll be that way this year. It's hard to tell though, you know, because for some reason, I mean, the Halo 3 hype machine, I think it's just starting.
It's just starting, right?
Yeah, it feels like it's just starting. Like, suddenly I'm getting these press releases and seeing commercials and stuff on TV and stuff. So I'm hoping there's going to be a big crowd again this year, or at least, you know, for this game, as there was for Halo 2.
Well,
so
this is going to be my last question, but what you thought about the commercials that they've been releasing now recently? The Believe one?
Oh, the only commercial that I've seen on TV for Halo 3 is the blue versus red one, or red versus blue one, I mean.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you haven't seen the new one? You haven't seen the new one?
No, I haven't seen the Believe one, and I keep hearing about it, so I should look it up online.
It's
but I haven't
really
seen
good.
It myself.
It's really good.
Really?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I think that commercial, and there's a new one too that came out, I believe, on gamevideos.com. But those are the commercials that really got me like, wow, okay, now I really got to play this game, you know?
Oh man, now yeah,
it's
I have
like
to
a,
see
it's them. Like a nice hint of what gonna happen in the game.
Interesting. I have to watch them. I'm like really curious to see what they do. You okay. know, it's like. Really curious to see what they hint at. You yeah, know what
yeah.
I mean?
I know you were like, yeah, I know what's going to happen.
Well, see, that's the thing. It's like, I want to compare. It's like, are they hinting at this? Or are they hinting at that? Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
So, but you guys are going to have a great time with that game. I mean, honestly, it's so much fun and cool. stuff. And any kind of worries about campaign. I mean, I was worried about it too. I mean, but I came out of it like thinking they did a great job. So.
Cool, cool. I know the fans are going to be happy no matter what.
Yeah, so. I have a feeling they will be too. I'm crossing my fingers that I didn't get it wrong, you know, but I honestly, yeah. you know what I mean? Like, it's hard when you don't have someone to talk to about it, like, to bounce ideas off, like, how, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? You know?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I have a feeling people will be really happy.
Cool.
So.
Cyber, anything else, Cyber, before we end it up?
Oh, man. No, I think we got all the answers we needed. We have everything we wanted. So,
I think so. The fans be.
All I want to know.
No, we're good. We're good. I think we're good. I mean,
all I want to know is what's going to happen with Cortana. You know, like, come on, you know.
You have to wait to play the game. It's really good. Like, you know, the story is very. You know.
Okay. At least a lot of twists. A lot of twists.
Yeah.
Oh yes, I love those. Yeah. All right.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so thank you for listening here, Gamertag Radio, and we'll be back next week. We have more content. I'm here in New York City, so I've been recording a couple of interviews over here. Actually, next week, I'm going to have Mandy on our podcast, Lady Luck, for those that don't know. Follow her, Lady Luck 34 on Twitter. We are going to be talking about Link's Awakening for the Nintendo Switch and also Astral Chain, which also came out a month ago or so. So I've been playing that game nonstop, but I don't have Link's Awakening. Mandy's going to be talking about that too. So it's going to be a great conversation for those that have Nintendo Switch. You're going to love this episode. It's going to be awesome. All right. And we have more stuff, so stay tuned. Until next time. Peace.
Listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.